We are still at James. Today we're going to go, we're going to try. We're going to try to keep it short. We are doing themes from the book of James. We talked about different things that James is concerned with. All right? And in your CGs, you talked about how we are not to show favoritism. Right? And I hope that is being worked out in our lives on a daily basis. We got to constantly think about what James is talking about, because James is very, very practical, and he encourages us, if not exhorts us, to prove it. Right? One big theme in the book of James is this whole balance between faith and works. And today we're going to talk about that, faith and works. And so turn with me, James chapter 2, verse 14. And we're going to read it together, okay? Ken? Oh, off again. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm reading from the old... No, I'm reading from NIV. Okay, so that's good. Okay, ready? One, two, three. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." You believe that there is one God? Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And scriptures was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and he was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did? She gave lodgings to the spies and sent them off on a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Faith needs to be accompanied by action. And today I want to think about three things that James talks about. He says faith needs to be acted out. And these three things are very closely related together, because we've talked about, our salvation, and that James challenges us. You Christian, prove it. All right. It needs to come out. And this couple of weeks, as we, constantly think about this, the challenge is this: how is it coming out? How is it coming out? Verse 16, says that, or rather verse 14, all the way to 16, James gives an illustration. He says, if someone is in need, you can't just say, okay, good luck, God bless you, go ahead, go exercise some faith. And there's nothing about the physical. All right? And then he goes on to compare. He says, you have faith, you believe. That's great. Even the demons believe. Okay? And then in verse 20, James actually calls out and challenges the people and says, hey, you're foolish, you know. You're foolish if you say that, you know, you need faith without works or works without faith. It doesn't go together. It says you're foolish. The first thing that I like to highlight here is three words, okay? Number one, faith without works, or faith without action, or faith without deeds in some versions, right? The NRI uses the word deeds, okay? Faith without deeds is number one, dumb. D-U-M-B. Doesn't make sense. Okay? James gives that illustration, and he says, you know, if someone is in need, you say, hey, God bless you. And there are many illustrations, I believe, that we can think of that relates to that. And one interesting thing that James brings up here is this, you know. He says that you believe in one God, right? Faith causes us to believe in God, right? Yeah? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Faith must cause us to believe, right? Okay? And in God, right? Not just in anything and everything, right? Faith must cause us to believe in God. And James then says, that's good. You believe in God, good. But then he goes on to say, even the demons believe in God. And so in a sense, if we are saying, hey, that's, you know, I got all this faith and all that, I believe in God, it's almost like James saying, hey, this one, you're just as good. You're just as good as the demons, you know. If you stop there. Doesn't make sense. It's dumb. You want a stronger word, huh? Stupid, no. I was going to say demonic. I'm on D here today, okay? Just for the sake of JC. Like, duh. So, it's recorded, yeah. Okay. So, those who are not here, enjoy the recording. So, James is basically saying it does not make sense if we can speak about it. If we say, hey, let's go to church, you know, let's praise God, you know, let's just do this. You know, sometimes we get into a position whereby, and there are a lot of Christians who have this kind of mentality, you know. As long as I go to church on a Sunday, good, that's good enough. I get some points as if. From heaven, God looks down and says, okay, mark attendance. You know, God doesn't come, well, he comes to church, but he doesn't come to mark attendance. He doesn't look down from heaven and says, okay, you know, all right, Benny here, Chris, okay, pass, you know, Kenny, pass. Late. Okay, lah. You know, God doesn't do that so that he can look back and say, okay, you know, good enough. There must be more. Because if that is it, then we have failed to exercise what faith really means. Doesn't make sense. It's as good as, and it's scary, you know. Because James says, hey, even the demons believe that. And so, the first thing is this, don't associate ourselves with demons, okay? Okay? Yeah? Alright? Because knowing alone is not good enough. we got to move on from there. Number two, verse 20 says, you foolish man, you want evidence, yeah? That faith without deeds is useless. Faith without deeds is useless. Or in some versions, it says, faith without works is dead. So number one, faith without works is dumb. Number two, it is dead. It is dead. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son? Let's move on. Verse 26 says this, the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now we ask the question, what good is a dead body? What good is a dead body? Feed the worms, ah. Okay, bury. Nowadays, we don't even bury, we cremate, ah. Finish, ah. There's nothing left. Right. And so James says, faith without works is dead. The NIV uses the word useless in verse 20, right? Is it 20? Yeah. Verse 20. Faith without works is useless. Now, the first thing is, it doesn't make sense, alright? It's dumb. The second thing that James says is, it's not functional, it's useless. How many of us here want to be useless people? None, right? You go to school, your teacher says, you're useless. You're like, I hope nobody says that to us. I hope you don't say that to other people. Okay. Cannot pakai. There's no use. Right. James uses that word, useless, dead. Same thing. Right. It's the same. Now, as Christians, as believers, okay, our walk, our Christian life is anchored upon faith in Jesus Christ. Right? And faith is a big thing, if not the first thing that is exercised. And here again, I say faith is exercise. Exercise itself is works, right? Faith is one of the basic elements of our Christian walk. And we need to talk about it. We need to have it. We need to keep it at work. But then James says that, wait a minute, if it's not working out, if it's not at work, it's useless. Now here's the ouch, okay? It's this. If we are Christians and claim that we have faith, but we don't have works, then James basically says, you're useless Christian. Now, I'm sure none of us want to be called useless Christian, right? Okay. The same way, same time, none of us want to be called dead Christian, right? But James says this. Your faith needs to be acted out. It needs to come out. Now I'm giving us these words so that we really challenge ourselves, because none of us anywhere want to be called dumb or useless. Right? If you want to be called dumb or useless, that means something wrong. Okay, you need to go for counseling or something like that. None of us in our right frame of mind want to be called, dumb or dead.
useless. And if that is so, then means something needs to be done. Our faith needs to be activated so that it can be seen, so that it can be experienced, not only by others, but we ourselves experience it as well. So, again, let's look back at the illustration where James says, you know, what good is it if a man claims to have faith and has no deeds? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. You say to him, go, I wish you well. Keep warm. All the best. Keep warm with what? No clothes, ah? Be well fed. No food. Have some faith. Very easy to say, you know. How many of us many times experience, hey, we are in a difficult situation. You know. Banjir. Water goes into my house. Okay. Don't you hate it when someone says, you know, all is well, and after that walk away? Right? I'm in a situation whereby, you know, there is need. Doesn't matter what need it is. Okay? Some of us may be financial need, you know, may experience or have seen. And then we say, God bless you. Sometimes we be a little bit more spiritual. We use the word faith. Have faith. All is going to be well. Then we walk away. What? Guilty. Don't you put out your hand. But that's God's challenge to us. Don't just say it. Become useful. So we need to constantly ask ourselves, how can we, through the act of faith, now this must come through the act of faith, become useful? Because Paul says this, you know, if you got a lot of works, okay, in fact he says if you can speak and prophesy, you know, in tongues and all that stuff, but have not love, something that's deep within, that comes from within. In fact, he even says that if you have faith that can move the mountains, but you have not love, useless. He gives the illustration, you are resounding gong, you talk a lot. Dong, 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 dong. You know, a bit irritating, right? But there's always a call to something, an act. And we need to act on it. We cannot just go around and become useless Christians or Bible bashers. You know, sometimes we take the Bible and we, bam, have some faith, you know. The Bible says this, you know, bam, you know. This is what the Bible says. But then we don't do anything about it. James says, useless. Number three, finally. Today, very fast. Because I want to take some time for us to really consider our life. And we've been doing this for a couple of weeks, right? To say, what must faith cause us to do? Number three, verse 22. You see that faith and its actions, he's talking about Abraham, were working together. Okay? Faith and actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. Now, when faith and actions work together, we are then made complete. Okay? Or full. Right? We are complete or we are full. Okay? Obviously, the opposite of full is empty. Right? It's not complete.
There is a hole, there is a gap there. Okay, it is empty. Alright? So, the third thing is this, faith without works is devoid. It's empty. Now, Jesus says, I come to give you life and life to the full. Meaning to say that when we have faith, something in us, God, that something is the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit in us causes us, when we respond and walk in step, keep in step with the Holy Spirit, when we respond in obedience, there is a joy, a fullness that comes upon our life. For Abraham, his faith was made complete by what he did. If he didn't do anything, faith becomes empty. Now, that means that if we have faith alone and we don't exercise that faith is not completed, partial, a bit empty, got some loose space somewhere. I thought about that and said, hey, you know, are we living our lives not only being dumb, not only being useless, okay? We can say, hey, I'm not dumb, okay, I act a little bit, do a little bit, not dead, maybe just lying down and still breathing. You know, sometimes we are like that. We look at this passage and say, no, I'm not dead. I remember once, this was with youth. You know, with youth, you can say a lot of things. Okay? And sometimes we need to be direct. Okay? We say, hey, I'm not dead. Youth. Okay? One foot in the church, one foot in the world. He says, no, I'm not dead. I still got faith. And then the response was, hey, maybe you're not dead, But if you're lying down and you're not moving for the rest of your life, everybody's going to think you're dead. Nothing's happening. You may be alive, but you're not living. You know, sometimes we can be alive, not dead, but we are not living. Our life is not complete. Faith is not completed by action. So is there such a thing as partial faith? If it's not completed. I thought about it. When I have the answer, I'll let you know. But one thing is evident is this. Faith and actions must go together. It's a quote by Martin Luther. Martin Luther said this. He said, that a man is justified, meaning to say that he is declared righteous before God. Okay? A man is justified by faith alone. A man is justified by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. A man is justified by faith alone. Okay, so there's nothing you can do to be made righteous before God. We are justified by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone.
that faith needs to be accompanied by works. Now today, I believe what God wants us to do is this. To look back at our lives and evaluate our lives. Now, some of us have been Christians for, you know, a long time. Some of us, maybe you say not so long. Now, here's this. Every time someone says, I'm a new Christian, and I ask, how many years? Okay. If they say anything more than three, okay, if they say anything more than three, I say you're old, no more new. Okay, if you're 1 year old Christian, then okay lah. Okay, 2 year old. Now why do I say that? Okay, because Jesus came and in 3 years made all his disciples leaders. So this means that in 3 years, you need to take leadership already. If you follow Jesus as an example and you, if you believe that, you know, Jesus came to show us the way, right? Yes, huh? Okay. That means if we are in the faith, we are Christians for one year, okay lah, maybe lah, you know. We still do a lot of things that we're not supposed to do. Fine. The Holy Spirit helps us. 2 years, you know, scold a bit lah. That's what Jesus did, right? He's scolding his disciples all the time. Hey, why are you so dull? Right? And after 3 years, he says, okay, that's it, man. You guys take over. Because you have been equipped. The Holy Spirit in us must lead us. We cannot be sitting down and says, you know, come, receive. If faith needs to be accompanied by works, all of us, all the 20 of us here, need to be jumping up and saying, this is what God is challenging me to do right now. This is what God wants me to do right now. This is how my faith needs to be put in action. This is, you know, what I need to know. I need to zoom in on this guy. I need to go and share the gospel to this guy. I need to give. I need to be praying. I need to be... Why? Because faith is at work. Let me close with this illustration. Okay? Then after that, we'll enter into prayer. And I want us to spend, you know, some time just evaluating our life and see how we've been going. Someone gave this illustration that if you are in a boat, you know, sampan, okay, and you have two oars, all right, you sit and you have two oars going. On one side is faith, and the other oar is works. If you're pulling only one side, what happens is you spin it around and you stay in the same place. Whichever side you pull. It's only when you go two together, that's when you have the greatest distance. Both must be moving together at the same time, giving the same weight, pressure, value. Now, having said that, let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves this question. Has our life sometimes been in circles? The first time we go canoeing, you all go canoeing, right? Have been at least sometime once. No? Okay. Go rowing. Never been, Ask someone to take you there. Okay? Okay. This is what happens. I've experienced it, and I'm sure a lot of you have experienced it. This is how our canoe travels. Yeah?
I mean, that's where we want to go, right? But we always go like that. Left to right, to left to right. And then if we have a partner, right? If we sit in the double, worse still, we fight with the partner and you know, no lah, left down lah, right down lah. And then our first problem is coordinating. Okay? Now why am I saying this? Okay? Because we as a church, I'm not talking about our individual lives now, I'm talking about us as a church. We need to coordinate together. So the guy who is sitting at the back, when the guy in front goes left down, you gotta go left down. When the guy in front goes right down, you gotta go right down. You cannot go, this one go right down, this one go left down, you will clash. You know, sometimes in churches, we like that. Why? Because we're not following the person in front. The other thing that happens when you're canoeing doubles is this. The guy in front, the guy behind, oh, tired already, sit down and all. Quiet, sit down. And the guy in front is doing all the work. And then after, oi, what are you doing? All of us experienced this before, right? At some point. And then after that, here's what happens. The guy in front also rests. You don't want to canoe, I also don't want to canoe. Okay, your turn. Okay, now your turn to go. And when there's no coordination, we don't move as fast. Two people supposed to paddle, you know, but only one is doing the job. So, two different scenarios. Number one, our personal life. We got to get our lives right. Those two oars need to go, so that we can have the greatest distance at the same time. The second scenario is this. We as a church, we need to go coordinated. Or else, we'll tire out, or else we'll fight among ourselves, or else we'll be canoeing like a snake. We need to be coordinated in the timing, in the energy that is put in. I mean, I used to go canoeing a lot, so I know. Sometimes we sit at the back, right? We do as if we are going, you know. But then we're just touching the surface of the water. The one in front doing all the work. So we just touch. Looks coordinated. But the one in front, or maybe the one at the back, depending on, you know, who's lazy, is doing all the work. And so church, the challenge for us is this today. Number one, let's look at ourselves in a sampan with two oars. We need to stop going in circles. We need to stop rowing on one side only and moving in circles and say, hey, I faith one. I'm here every Sunday, you know. And, yeah, God is good to me. Yeah, I'm learning new things, you know. I'm receiving from the Lord. Great stuff. But you know what? You're going in circles because only one oar is going. You want to go the distance, put two hands into it. And then the second challenge is for us as a church. Sometimes it's so easy to say, hey, that belongs to that guy and that ministry. That belongs to that guy and that ministry. And that belongs to that guy and that ministry. But we need to get coordinated together. Now, you may not be out there holding a floorball stick and whacking away. You may not be up on the wall and climbing or dancing or, you know, or up here or doing the LCD or whatever. You may not be doing that. But all that is part and parcel of us
collectively as a church. We need to carry that same energy and burden. We need to be coordinated. And so all of us here, without a shadow of doubt, and I'm sure of this, we come and say we have faith. Big or small, at what degree, to me it doesn't really matter. Because God said if you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. The question is not a matter of whether we can move mountains or not. The question is, what are we doing to move mountains? If the Holy Spirit is in us, if we have received Jesus Christ into our life, and God's Spirit dwells within us, we have the capacity, because of the Holy Spirit, to move mountains. Y'all believe that? Then your neighbor nudge them and says, hey, you can move mountains, you know. Wake them up a bit. Now, here's the question. Now turn to your neighbor and say, what are you doing to move the mountain? Because that is what the Bible is challenging us today. If God is saying to us, this is what He has given us, He has commanded us, He has called us, He has challenged us, hey, go move this mountain, go make a difference, go make some changes, you know, go impact lives. We have that capacity. That's the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do something about it. Or else we end up being dumb, being dead, or being devoid in our lives. Let's bow our heads right now. As our heads are bowed, I want to take one step back and ask ourselves this basic question. Each one of us. Okay? And ask ourselves this basic question. Where is our faith? Where do we place our faith? The obvious, simplest answer is in God lah. But I'd like to us to pause right now and ask ourselves, really, honestly, really in God? Do we put our faith in God? And trust Him in everything? And if the answer is yes, sometimes, or yes, most of the time, we have to right now open our hearts and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I need to really have faith in you. Let your Holy Spirit challenge me, help me to have total faith in you. Number two, after we've done that, we need to ask ourselves this question. How are we exercising that faith? What is it that God is challenging us to do? Don't say nothing, because God is not about just saving us so that we sit down and do nothing. His Holy Spirit, it's constantly challenging us, growing us, wanting us to move and exercise faith. And so if that is the case, then we need to ask the Lord, God, what is it that you need me to do so that I can exercise this faith that I have in you? Because if we are not, then we are just rowing one side of the oar. And as the Lord reveals to you, let us be bold and courageous.
In Joshua, it says, be strong and courageous. To take bold steps. To do all that God has called us to do. So that our faith, our Christian walk, is complete and not empty. Father, I pray for each one of us right now. I ask, O God, that as your Holy Spirit speaks to us and ministers to us, Father, I pray that a faith that is bursting forth from our lives, Lord, would arise, would say, yes, Lord, challenge me, place me in situations whereby I can exercise this faith with full confidence because you are with me. And so, Father, release your precious presence into our life once again. Cause us to respond to your word. Cause us to respond to you. Cause us to respond by faith in action to all that you have set before us. For this we ask and pray, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.